For this episode, Brother Lee Watts is our special speaker.
God, who organizes this event every year, you have blessed my heart by attending. We will be the biggest group up here in Franklin this year, and you'll never hear a word about us in the press. But it's not important if the press knows we were here. What's important if the legislators know that we're here. So I'm going to give a bunch of different bills today. We're going to, in these different categories. Gun rights, education, marijuana, life, religious liberty, and marriage. Might be one or two extra, depending on how fast I can talk. At 11:45, whether I am done or not, we will have to stop, because all the rooms stop at the same time. So, hope you get to enjoy some of the other speakers today. Things I will not be talking about today, homeschool bills and casinos. These issues are so important, I've assigned a speaker to just talk about just that. And that's the different room numbers they are in. So those you may want to go on, those particular issues are so important they have their own rooms. I got ahead of myself. I'm going to be talking about a lot of bills today. If you contact your legislator on everything I talk to you about, it will be so much, it will be overload. And instead of them responding to you, they just won't respond at all. It's too much information. So out of everything you hear today, pick your top three or top five at most. And those are the things to contact your legislator on. If you do every one, it will wind up being ineffective. On the slides and on your paper, you will see there is the phone number to call. Today, during the 15-minute break between sessions, call today. Because these bills will be up for a vote on Monday. So they need to hear from you today. Call and say, I want to leave a message for my legislator. If you do not know who your legislator is, just say, I live in this town. Give them your zip code and they can look it up. You want to leave a message for three people. Your legislator, Senate and House, and Jonathan Schell and Damon Thayer. These two people are the leaders in the Senate and the House. They get to say, this is the bill we're going to debate and vote on today. So they need to hear from the people as well. The people of Kentucky want that. So your legislator plus Jonathan Schell and Damon Thayer. With that being said, let's get to our first one here. The first one, this is a good bill. House Bill 298. This would say that the state of Kentucky will not sign any contracts with a company that is part of the Boycott Israel movement. There's a movement called Boycott Israel. And different companies say that we will not do any business with Israel. Well, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse number 3, that I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. You've got some people saying, I don't want to help Israel. Well, then you know what? I don't think the state of Kentucky should be doing business with it. So this is a good bill. Right now, it doesn't have any motion behind it. It's only being only because of the people, God's people, who say we want to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. It's the only reason that'll ever get passed in the law. House Bill 298. If you miss some of these because I go too fast, at the end, if there's time, or in the 15 minutes between rooms, come back and I'll show you the different ones. Let's go on to our next one here. This is House Bill 326, the Student Right to Privacy Act. This was filed by a legislator who is a pastor, and he filed this yesterday. This is probably one of the most important bills before the legislature. Right now, in the public school, they can say, hey, your daughter has to, you got gym class at the end of it, your daughter goes into the shower, but this boy who identifies as a girl, he's allowed to go in there too. And if they're having an overnight school trip, he's like, well, if he identifies as a girl, he can share the room with all the girls. No way, Jose.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
This bill would say, oh, no, you don't. All right? And it would say that's not going to happen. It's crazy that we have to have a law for this, but we do. So this is House Bill 326, a good one that I hope you will encourage your legislator to support. When you contact and leave a message today, important, you need to be brief, you need to be courteous, and you need to say, contact me back with what you will be doing. If you do not tell them to contact you back, you've left them off the hook. Brief, be courteous, contact me back. And you can have them call or email or send you a letter. They'll get the message on Monday, so it's not like they're calling you today anyway. All right, here's some other bills. These are some pro-life bills. First of all, there's House Bill 235. This is a bad one. Today, if someone wants to get an abortion, they go to the doctor. He is required to give the woman information about an abortion. And she gets that for 24 hours. And then she can go in and have the procedure done. They want remove that and say, you can just come in right away and you can get it, and we don't want you actually to have time to read the information. By doing this, a lot of women who actually read it and have a day to think about it change their mind. So this would cause more to have an abortion who would have not. This is the same crowd who say, you know what, you got to wait 24 hours or 3 days before you buy a gun, but you shouldn't have to wait to kill a baby. Great hypocrisy there. Then here is a good pro-life bill, House Bill 115. It says that doctors who issue prescriptions for different abortion-causing drugs must report every time they issue one of those prescriptions. I think this would deter some of them from issuing those so quickly, because we can find out some of these guys are just kind of running abortion clinics under a different name. So that would be a good pro-life bill. The marijuana bill. I was speaking to some legislators this morning at the weekly Capitol prayer breakfast, and they said this is the bill to make marijuana legal in Kentucky. They get contacted on this every single day by phone call, by email, by handwritten letter, by personal visit. Every single day, this crowd is here in force. They want to say, we need marijuana legal in Kentucky. Last year, they said, we want it two ways. We want it, one, medically, where you have to have a prescription. And they also said, we want one where you can just smoke a joint on the street. Well, that didn't work. So this year, they said, well, we're only going to do it medically. These are the different bills that all say that. But at the end of the day, they all get the same thing, which is medical marijuana. Now, I had this crowd called me up and said, Brother Lee, this is a plant that God made, so we'd like to talk to you and you to help us support this. I said, I know you've been smoking today. Hang on, have it. One of their arguments is, well, God made it, so why should man say not to use it? I remind you, what was the original sin? Right. God made a plant,
right,
and he said, I don't want man to consume that. The original sin was right, consuming a plant that God made. God also made the cocoa leaf that we get cocaine from. Nobody's saying we ought to use that because God made it. So as they used to say when I was in the Air Force, that won't fly. I have had multiple Christians and even some pastors say, well, what's wrong with medical marijuana? The medical would be okay, recreational would be bad. Our governor, good Christian fella, has said he would never approve recreational marijuana, but he might be persuaded on medical if there were proper regulations. I'm here to say that those regulations will not be followed, and they will go recreational. I'm going to show you now why medical marijuana is a terrible idea. When I was in the military, my job was media relations. My area of expertise is engaging propaganda. And I'm going to use all of that training now to show you what I mean. With marijuana, first of all, we're going to separate fact from fiction. You've been lied to about this. Some of them may say, well, this is just more liberty. It gives people the choice. Medical marijuana takes away your liberty. Here is why. According to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, quote, under federal law, a marijuana user cannot legally possess a firearm. What they are doing is they are quoting the U.S. law, U.S. Code Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 44, Section 922, which says, even if you have a medical prescription for marijuana, if you do, you are prohibited from owning a firearm. I bet the crowd pushing this didn't bother to tell you that you got to turn in all your guns. That's because in propaganda, you don't say all that stuff. They say, marijuana is not addictive. They lied to you, all right? Marijuana is addictive. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, contrary to popular belief, marijuana can be addictive. So, yes, it is. You will see that it says marijuana users under the age of 18 are 7 times more likely to become addicted. Not only that, but up to 30% of marijuana users may develop a use disorder. This is not some random group I am quoting. You'll see there at the bottom, that is from the Journal of the American Medical Association, the psychiatry department there, in a 2012-2013 article. Yes, it is addictive, and up to 30%. That is a highly unacceptable rate of addiction. And yet, that's what they want to say is going to help us out. They say, well, medical marijuana, if you use that, there's no evidence that it'll make teenagers use that. I've spoken with these people at great length up here. They're full of facts and statistics. I never hear them cite sources. he'll say, oh, this is really, it'll help the economy 15%. Says who? Well, 0% of, every one of these slides, you'll notice at the bottom, I'm citing the source where this information come from. Yes, this will increase usage. According to the CBS News article, it says in Colorado, the number of teens diagnosed annually with marijuana intoxication rose 400% after they said, we're going to make it legal. So yes, it does increase use among our teenagers. Marijuana use by 12 to 17-year-olds is the highest in states where it is medically legal. And that's from, again, the Courier-Journal, the director of the Kentucky State Police Narcotics Division. Just happens to be the teenagers use it, just happens to be in the states where you can medically get it. Seeing a big link there. They say marijuana, oh, it's good for the body, it's a medicine. That is a lie. Here's the information. Marijuana smoke irritates the lungs. And people who smoke it frequently have the same breathing problems as those who smoke tobacco. People were never intended to breathe smoke. Marijuana smoke problems include cough and phlegm, lung illness, infections, and increased heart rate. This increases your heart rate, increases your blood pressure, which increases your risk of a heart attack. So they say, oh, this will be good for you. No, you just increased your rate of a heart attack. If it was good for your heart, then why does the American Heart Association say we don't like it? The American Heart Association on their website has said, quote, secondhand marijuana smoke can do as much damage to the heart and blood vessels as secondhand tobacco smoke. Just as bad. If it was good for the heart, why is the American Heart Association against it? They say, well, this is another big thing. It'll help the economy. Who's heard about the budget crisis and the pension crisis? Well, they always say, well, this will help you with the budget and the pension. Well, let's find out where they lied to you there. Marijuana use is directly linked to increases in workplace absences. Less people are working. They have more accidents. And they have more injuries. We have less people working, and we have more people injured on the job. This, again, is from the Journal of the American Medical Association, a reputable source saying this would be bad for Kentucky's economy and the workforce that they're trying to develop. Fiction. They say voters, this is from Harry C. Bull Jr. He is the school superintendent in Cherry Creek, Colorado. Notice what he said. Voters were told marijuana taxes would be a windfall of cash for schools. That's not what happened. The only thing legalization brought to our schools was marijuana. Because if you look up how much extra money now they have to spend in police forces, the hospital rooms, they are losing money, not making it. And they say, oh, well, nobody ever, so people get drunk and kill people. Nobody ever got stoned on marijuana and never hurt anybody. I've heard them say that a lot. That, again, is propaganda. That is a lie. After alcohol, marijuana is the drug most often found in the blood of drivers involved in crashes. This is, again, from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which means this drug causes thousands upon thousands of deaths and injuries every single year, second only to alcohol. You'll see this report from the American Automobile Association, May 2016. Fatal road crashes involving marijuana doubled after Washington State legalized the drug. So if it gets legal, you're twice as likely to be involved in an accident if you didn't smoke it, because that's the number of the rate that it goes up. They say, well, marijuana will help some people who've got some conditions. And they like to point out who's got these medical benefits. You realize there's all kinds of medicines that they've made from marijuana that don't get you high. In fact, if you heat it up by smoking it, it goes from being able to give you 200 milligrams of the beneficial compound. If you eat marijuana raw, like you would eat lettuce, it does not get you high, and you can get up to 200 milligrams of beneficial products. If you heat it up by smoking it or by baking it, then it will get you high, and it decreases from 200 milligrams down to 20 milligrams of helpful stuff. It's literally 10 times worse for you. All right? However, the catch-22 is if we gave them a permit saying you can eat it like a salad, if you give it to them, they're going to smoke it. All right? It's just the way that it is. Now, this is a big, big argument, maybe their biggest argument. I've heard the Secretary of State a few months ago, I think in that chair, testified in front of the committee here saying this would help our veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. I am a veteran. I am a combat veteran of the Iraq War. I'm a combat veteran with multiple awards, citations, medals, decoration for valor. And I can speak to you as someone involved in this. If you give somebody a joint and say, here, this is helping you, you get high for about 2 hours. At the end of the 2 hours, have you helped them get over their problem? They have the same problem they had to begin with. All we did was tell you, hey, I just don't want you to think about it. Jesus said, if you see someone who is cold and hungry, and you just say, hey, be ye warm and filled, but you don't actually give them any food or give them any clothing, then what you did was useless. What we're telling these people with PTSD is, I'm not actually going to help you with anything. I just want you to forget about it for about 2 hours. That is very insulting to us veterans and those who do have real problems. Just saying, just forget about it. I think we ought to do something that actually helps these people. And so if anybody says, oh, this will help those with post-traumatic stress disorder 2 hours at a time, more time passes between breakfast and lunch. All right? It's an insult. We need to give these people some real therapy, some real counseling, some real help. And follows that biblical principle. Notice what the American Psychiatric Association said in their policy paper available on their website today. There is no scientific evidence that marijuana is in any way beneficial for the treatment of any psychiatric disorder. In contrast, evidence supports a strong association of cannabis use with the onset of psychiatric disorders. The reason for that, this thing messes with your brain. If your brain is already messed up, that doesn't reverse it. All right, that makes it worse. Let's look at another one. They say, well, this won't make illegal drug use, because we have an opioid crisis. Everybody heard about the opioid crisis? They say, well, if this was legal, then people wouldn't use so many opioids. You've been lied to. According to the American Journal of Psychiatry, 10 July of last year, cannabis use appears to increase rather than decrease the risk of developing non-medical prescription opioid use and opioid use disorder. This will not make the opioid crisis in Kentucky better. It will make it worse. This is not Brother Lee's words. These are the words of the American Journal of Psychiatry. Get Joe Blow saying this. I think I'll take the words of the experts on this instead. Let's pause for a moment. There's Representative Tim Moore, one of our great Christian heroes in the legislature. All right. Love you, Brother Tim. They say, well, this will help sick people. The American Cancer Society is against it. They say the American Cancer Society opposes smoking marijuana because the percentages of marijuana smoke pose numerous health hazards to the patient and to others in their presence. If it was, they say, oh, it'll help people with cancer problems. Well, the American Cancer Society says, no, it won't. And here's the reason why. Out of the 70 cancer-causing chemicals in tobacco, 30 of them are in marijuana. That is from the American Thoracic Foundation. So if you say, well, I'm having chemotherapy and I'm nauseous because of this cancer treatment, and marijuana helps me with my nausea from my cancer treatment. Okay, but it also causes 30 types of cancer. All right? So again, that just won't fly. Don't let these people sell you on that idea. The American Medical Association has it. Their public policy statement says this. The AMA does not endorse state-based medical cannabis programs. They do not endorse legalization of marijuana, the therapeutic use of cannabis as meeting standards as prescription of a drug. They're like, no, no, and no again. American Medical Association says it's bad. So don't take Joe Blow's word saying it's actually good. So in summary, it damages the lungs. It is the loss of your gun rights. It increases opioid use. It's not good for the PTSD people. Can read it as we go to save my voice because I'm talking all day long. Increases usage, increases the dropout rate, second leading cause of all fatal crashes, harmful to workforce productivity, and the smoke's as bad as secondhand smoke. It is opposed by the Kentucky State Police, the American Cancer Society, the American Thoracic Society, the Heart Association, Medical Association, and Psychiatric Association. And you're going to get some uninformed people who have zero medical training telling you it's actually good. And the church should support it. The next time they come up to you, you can let them know that they are ignorant. Ignorant does not mean stupid. Ignorant means you do not know about something. You are no longer ignorant on this topic. I hope you will share what you have learned with those supporting it, and most especially with your legislators. Here are the bill numbers for the marijuana bills. The bottom one there is, I had that one separate. It just says, if it's legal, these will be a lot of limitations. Again, I think there, as soon as it gets in, the limitations start going away. So I'm not too worried about the bottom one. I am worried about the top three most, sponsored by both Democrats and Republicans. So let's go on to another bill. Let's talk about the bills that affect gun rights, the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, there it is. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of every state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed except by the state government. Oh, wait, that's not what it says. It says it shall not be infringed. Now, first of all, let's talk about some biblical principles. Jesus said in Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. It says in Nehemiah 4:17-18, they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and they felt under threat at their workplace. So did they have a weapon-free zone? No. You read the scripture, it says every single guy had, with one hand he worked, and the other hand he held a weapon. If you get one of those modern Bibles, it should say a fully automatic one. All right? Do you notice the only place they ever have mass shootings is in gun-free zones? Have you ever heard of a mass shooting at a gun show? No. Liberals say more guns, more danger. No, there's guns all over at a gun show. Never a mass shooting. But every time, schools, in the theaters, in the military recruitment center where you can't have a gun, where the people are disarmed. More weapons makes me more safe. Less weapons, less safe. These are biblical principles. We'll give you two more quickly. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. The words of Jesus himself in Luke 22. Last biblical example, Jesus was used to the disciples packing, carrying weapons on them. The night they came to arrest Jesus, Peter was packing. All right, he's like, because before, remember, he said, have we got any swords? If not, sell something, let's get some. And they had two with them. And that night, Peter drew it, and he knew how to use it, too. And if that would have been today, old Peter would have been like, oh, no, you don't. All right, so these are the biblical principles. Here's the law. It's up for a vote. House Bill 36 says that the Second Amendment, which we just read, there's another of our great Christian legislators there in the back. Thank you, sir, for being one of our great Christian legislators. House Bill 36 says that your Second Amendment in your Constitution that says I have the right to carry, to bear arms, that is my permit. Right now, the right to bear arms is gone. You do not have the right to bear arms. You have the permission. You have the privilege. If you pay for the permit, if you pass their test, then you're allowed to do it. But you have to pay for it. And you have to get their permission, don't you? It's no longer an inalienable right. It is now a dispensation of government. This bill is passed in several other states. We've not been able to get it passed yet in Kentucky. House Bill 210. This was actually sponsored by the representative who just came in a minute ago, Representative Moore. House Bill 210 says people with a permit may carry guns on the campuses of our universities and colleges. We had a guy come last year when they wrote this bill and they couldn't get it passed. And he is a veteran. He got shot during the war, and he's a cripple. And he comes in on those little sticks that they walk with, and he says, I go to UK, and they told me if there's a shooting, that I'm supposed to run away and try to find cover. I cannot run away. He says, this would allow me to defend myself. Talked to the legislator yesterday, the guy who just came in. He's the sponsor who wrote that. And I said, how's this going? He's like, right now, the leadership, the Republican leadership has said they're too afraid that it'll be controversial, and they'll get too much flack. And nobody's saying in it anyway, so they're not going to call it up for a vote. They hear from 250, 400 people today. I think it'll be like, maybe I'll pass this. That's why you need to call it. Today, numbers on the paper, the numbers on the slides. I got 5 minutes left. Gun rights. House Bill 31 says if you own a gun and you do not have this little lock in the trigger, a trigger lock, and a kid can get to it, doesn't say the kid did get to it. The law says if they could get to it, if they can get to it, and you don't have a trigger lock, you have committed a Class B misdemeanor and can spend up to 6 months in jail. If they use the gun, you can spend up to a year in jail. If they don't even use it, it would still be a crime. That's infringing of it. House Bill 189 is a little more dangerous. It would allow the city and county officials to pass gun laws. And, of course, how many cities and counties has the liberals that would be in charge saying you're not allowed on this type of gun or this much ammo. Right now, there's one place they can go, this house. We can keep eyes on one place. I can let people know what's going on. the different Christian radio and your churches can keep you informed. But if every single county or city can do it, danger, danger, danger. So that's a bad bill, 31 and 189. House Bill 209, it says if you commit a hate crime, you can't own a gun. Now, that sounds okay, but the trouble is the liberals want to redefine what's a hate crime. They had a group up here a few years ago saying, I should not be allowed to preach against homosexuality. That should be a hate crime. And if I did that and that law passed, I wouldn't be allowed to own a pistol. Brother Lee would be back in jail. If y'all read my newsletter, you know what I mean by that. All right, 3 minutes. Marriage. Senate Bill 48. This is a good one. I like this one. Right now, you can get married in Kentucky at the age of 17 without asking your parents. And it would change that. In fact, I think it might even be 16. Anyway, change it up to 18. You have to be at least 18 to get married without an adult saying it's okay. I think that's a good one to help with marriage there. The liberals are pushing House Bill 179. That's a bad one. It would remove Section 233A of the Kentucky Constitution, which limits marriage between one person to one other person. Now, it used to be one man and one woman. Well, they threw that out. So why are they so interested in getting rid of the one-to-one part? You know why? Polygamy. Preachers have warned for years. I'm warning you today. The polygamy crowd is coming right behind the homosexual crowd, and they're going to say we have every right that they have. And the bestiality and pedophile crowd is right behind them. You stair-step the people into it. You've probably all heard of the frog in the pot illustration, where they put the frog in the pot and slowly turn the heat up, blow the frog to death. This is what it is. It's slowly doing these things. And now polygamy is what we're facing. Bad bill against the biblical definition of marriage. Education, Senate Bill 71 says, if sex education is passed, then it must include abstinence training. This passed the Senate 2 weeks ago. The liberals went crazy. They said, no, no, no. And that was an infringement of rights. I mean, just no sense at all. I heard it said before, sin will make you stupid. All right? They said, well, abstinence only works 98% of the time to prevent pregnancy. What 2% of the time does it not work? Once again, statistics, no facts. All right, no science. Then House Bill 80, this is a bad one. This is the one that is pushing it. It would require mandatory sex education for all students ages 4 through 12th grade. The reason I'm against that is because guess what they're going to be teaching in human sexuality class? Education, this is a good one. It's kind of a fluff one, but I like it. It would declare the last Wednesday of September as a state day of prayer in Kentucky schools, a day of prayer for students. So that'd just be something we can do anyway, but it's a good one. House Bill 128 would require that Holocaust teaching be part of ROTC programs in high school. And there's so much denial of the Holocaust now that that's bad. I do not have time to get into this one. It is time for me to be done. But that is plenty. I hope you've written the bills down, the numbers. You can see me during the break if you need to get them again. Call today. The answering service is downstairs. Say, I'm so-and-so. They'll ask, who's your senator or your representative? Leave a message for them and for two other people, Jonathan Schell and Damon Thayer. Thank you for being a Christians at the Capitol Day. Enjoy the next session.